Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
So the county's current millage rate is 5.955 mills. That will be divided into two portions on your tax bill. The two portions, when added together, will still equal 5.955 mills. 3.885 mills will go to the county's general fund, as they've always done. The 2.07 mills will be set aside and dedicated for sworn law enforcement activities carried out by the Sheriff's Department. But once again, that total for the county taxpayers remains unchanged at this point in time, 5.955 mills.
This is Ed Spears, city manager for the city of Milton. This is at their work session, which was actually 2 weeks ago, but they also followed that up with a special session to ratify their millage rate. And I know this is 2 days in a row I'm doing, you know, tax talk, but I mean, this is most property owners interact directly with the government when you send them a check. And this is hundreds of dollars for you, one way or the other, and millions of dollars for the counties. So understanding all of this, I think, is kind of like, you know, one of the basic things that we should be reporting on. So here's the deal. Remember the county, Santa Rosa County, was trying to come up with ways to clarify their funding for citizens and also to increase funding. They did not do any of the increasing. But what they did do is they filled a pre-existing MSTU, Municipal Services Taxing Unit, for the sheriff, law enforcement. And what they said was, okay, we charge 6 mills. It's 5.995, 6 mills. And we're going to reduce that by 2, and we're going to turn that into the law enforcement MSTU, and we're going to keep the rest of the 4 for our general fund. So there's no change in your tax rate if you're a county resident. So far, so good. But on your bill, you're going to see a 4 and a 2 mil. Okay, and remember, a mil is for every $100,000 worth of value. It's $100 of cost, okay? So, you know, if you have a $400,000 home, 1 mil is $400. So in this case, you know, you get charged $2,400. $800 of that's going to the sheriff, and $1,600 of that's going to the county. And don't eyes glaze over on me with the math. We're early. So what the city of Milton is saying is, because they're a city, they do not participate in the MSTU unless they choose to do so. Remember, Sam Abel told us this last week that the city of Gulf Breeze opted to just do nothing. And if you do nothing, you don't have to pay the MSTU. And as a result, if you're a city resident in Gulf Breeze, your taxes will go down by 2 mills. Same thing for the city of Milton. If they do nothing, your taxes for everybody goes down by 2 mils, or, you know, several hundred dollars a year. Again, if you have a $400,000 home, your tax will go down by $800 a year. And the county is losing the $800. The county is forfeiting all that money from city residents who choose to do this. That's one option. They could do nothing. Option number two is, They could raise city millage, raise your taxes by 1 from 3 to 4, and then the city would get, again with my example, they'd get $400. The county would still get nothing, and you would still get a tax break of $400. So you would still pay less. The county would be out $800. The city would be up $400, and you'd be up $400. And that's basically what they wound up doing, and this is a really unprecedented opportunity for a political body.
So opting out of the MSTU presents the city of Milton with a very unique opportunity. I don't recall in my 30 years of local government and nonprofit experience ever seeing this type of situation. The city could consider an increase in the city's millage rate while at the same time providing a tax cut on the overall tax bill.
Again, if you live in the city and if you own property, that's the way this is going to work. Now, some of the other factors to know, the city is about a $1.4 million deficit this year. They were going to handle that by moving money from reserves into general fund, a very normal thing to do. This is going to be about $700,000, so it's about half of that gap. And if they do, which they already voted on it, but you know, they're going to put the 1 mil in for the city, so city taxes go up. They raise $700,000. They solve half their deficit. And then this is ongoing recurring revenue because next year they're probably not going to cut taxes. But the county is in trouble because the county is now out somewhere in the vicinity of $5 million. between Gulf Breeze, Milton, and I don't know if Jay has made their decision yet, but municipalities can make this decision. I think the county didn't anticipate this outcome. And based on some of the reporting, like in the PNJ, it looks like they tried maybe to work with Milton and Gulf Breeze to avoid this problem. The problem was not avoided. And I don't know exactly who's to blame for that or who's to credit for that, depending on how you view it. But here's the takeaway. If you live in Gulf Breeze, you're up two mils on your taxes for next year and going forward unless they change something. But the county is out that money. If you're in Milton, you're up a mil, and the city's up a mil, and the county's out two mils for you. And the county is going to be short a bunch of money. They're going to be in a worse deficit than they already were, which I think was about $4 million already, and this means it looks like it's going to be about $9 million. And they're already short, right? They're already spending more than they take in. This kind of looks like a big debacle for the county to me. But I haven't had a chance to talk to Brad Baker yet or any of the county commissioners to ask them. I'm just saying that's how it looks to me. And also, you have the question of the sheriff's perspective on this, since now the sheriff's funding is reduced unless the Santa Rosa County comes back and says, well, out of general fund, which is probably what they're going to have to do, because I don't think Bob Johnson is going to come forward and say, sure enough, ding my agency $5 million. That seems unlikely to me as well. Now, they will still help. Okay, they're obligated by law to still do what they do in the city of Gulf Breeze or Milton. The sheriff's office is still going to do SRO feature functions, and which I guess is Milton, not Gulf Breeze, because Gulf Breeze, doesn't PD and Gulf Breeze do their own SROs? I think they do. I could be wrong about that. Anyway, so there you go. That's just kind of, you know, pretty big information if you live in the city, and maybe if you live in the county, you're irritated because, you know, you're paying, maybe you think, too much. By the way, in Escambia County, just as an FYI, Escambia County also has an MSTU for the sheriff. It's about two-thirds of a mil, and only people in the county pay it. Nobody in the city pays it because the city has police. Of course, they already pay higher taxes to begin with. So there you go. 2 days in a row of tax talk. I promise not a third day. But, John, important?
Very.
Very important.
Very.
Let's see. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Fairfield Drive and Pontiac Drive, we're still dealing with that three-car accident that happened earlier. First responders are on the scene, but I'm seeing some delays on Fairfield Drive. Also, I-10, I-110 are looking good, but on Highway 29 northbound and southbound, as you approach Nine Mile Road, starting to see those delays there. Other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Oh, somebody says Pace doesn't have a police force, and so it doesn't apply to them. I don't know that or not. I thought, did I say Pace? I meant Jay. Did I say Pace?
No, you said Jay.
Oh, okay. Okay. Jay. So,
yeah, Pace doesn't have its own.
Yeah, right. I know. Pace is just county. It's a vicinity. It's a neighborhood, a region, or whatever you want to call it. But, it's not part of an incorporation. All right, 717 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you desire appreciation? Do you find yourself full of anxiety and frustration when you've served people humbly, yet it seems they've completely taken you for granted? Certainly, if you've served in such a way, people should be thankful and they should express their appreciation. However, it's unhealthy and unwise for any of us to crave appreciation from others. The fact is, people are generally consumers. They will often consume your service and move on to the next thing in their lives. The key is to serve others as unto the Lord. Do your service thoroughly and humbly as if you're serving God Himself. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Man's approval and appreciation is way overrated. And frankly, God's approval is way undersought.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Florida State football's coming. Are you ready? The season kicks off as the University of Alabama rolls into town for the first time ever. The epic season continues as the Noles take on teams like Virginia, the Hurricanes, Clemson, Florida, and more. Have your business branded inside all the games, plus weekly promos and commercials. A special sponsorship package is waiting just for your business. Get your business on the field. Call 850-262-6000 to be an FSU sponsor right here on News Radio 92.3.
Like what you hear? Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out. Simple. News Radio 92.3.
Hey, you want a s'more? S'more what?
No,
you want a s'more. I haven't had anything yet, so how can I have some more of nothing?
Shut up!
You're killing me, Smalls.
When I'm lying in my fitness, I don't want to grow up. Nothing ever seems to turn out right, and I don't want to grow up. How do you move in a world with fog?
It almost sounds like regular rock, but it's not. It's the Ramones. Oh, yeah.
When I see the price of you, baby.
7:21 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. This has been the big story of the day.
A Gulf Breeze high school teacher is in jail, accused of having a romantic relationship with a 17-year-old student. Santa Rosa Chief Deputy Randy Tift says a Crime Stoppers tip led to the arrest of 36-year-old Molly Mercero. She's charged now with soliciting a romantic relationship with a student by a school authority. Gulf Breeze High School's website had her listed as the Hospitality and Tourism Academy teacher. Deputies executed a search warrant at her home and found evidence of communications with the minor.
Even while she knew the investigation was going on, she got another cell phone to get to the minor so that they could still communicate and try to circumvent this investigation.
Yeah. So I guess she's out on bond now, something like $40,000. She paid $30,000. Yeah. Okay, so she's out now. I will say the one part of this that kind of caught my attention, aside from the story itself, is the assumption that I figure everybody made about this story was a 17-year-old boy. But according to Chief Deputy Tift,
this phones that the minor used was given to her by the teacher.
Given to who? Given to who?
This phones that the minor used was given to her by the teacher. The parents didn't do it. They also found an iPad that the teacher had given that we don't know what how she got that. We're assuming it's from the teacher.
So her and she is outside the normal pattern, I would say, in case you're paying attention. 7:22 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. A growing number of Senate Democrats voting against sending military aid to Israel. The Senate on Wednesday rejecting two measures that would have blocked a $670 million arms package to Israel. Over half of the Senate Democrats voted in favor of the resolutions. That's up from 15 who voted against military aid for Israel in April. President Trump putting pressure on Canada after their prime minister announced plans to recognize a Palestinian state. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney made that announcement Wednesday. Trump responded that Carney's announcement makes it hard for us to make a trade deal with them. And a Florida man arrested for stealing Smokey Bear signs from state forests and apparently not the smartest idea, selling them on Facebook Marketplace. Florida officials claimed yesterday that the suspect stole the signs from parks here in Pensacola, in Orlando, and in Panama City, and has been selling them for $1,900 a piece on the marketplace.
Seems kind of steep.
It is, especially a marketplace.
Yeah, right. I mean, marketplace is supposed to be the deal place, right? And that's definitely not deal pricing. So I wonder, you know what I wonder is, did they catch him? by posing as a buyer? It just seems like the most likely thing.
Sure. I'd like to buy one of those signs.
Been in the market for a Smokey Bear sign for a while.
Where can we get together? Okay. All right. At this exit off the interstate? All right. Cool. See you there in a little bit. Is it okay if I bring my friend?
Be sure you're never responsible for this terrible destruction. So remember, only you can prevent forest fires.
Only you can prevent grand larceny.
That's good. I mean, that's...
You done?
Good.
You done, David?
That's it.
It's time to go. All right.
I'm calling it a day.
And it's funny because if you look at the photos, Smokey the Bear is giving you, let's assume, the thumbs up.
Let's assume. But
you know how sometimes if you look at a picture and then somebody says, but do you also see this in it? And then you look at it and you can't not see it that way. You know how Ryan Jenkins says that when you're waving high, you should use all your fingers?
All your fingers.
Your fingers. Let's just say that. If you look at Smokey the Bear, and there's two different photos like this.
I know.
You might imagine that he's saying hi a different way. And once you see it, you can't unsee it.
No, you can't.
But look, with big furry hands, it's hard to make your gestures clear.
Fine.
Yeah.
Use all your fingers.
Okay. He's approaching 80, right? He'll turn 80 next month.
August 9th.
There you go. Almost 80. I mean, it looks pretty good for a 79-year-old bear.
It does.
Yeah, he's outperforming expectations. Not the trimmest of bears.
Right, but you know, we all get that way.
I mean, you know,
it happens.
You let yourself go a little bit at 79, you know? Doesn't have any gray hair. It's good. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Fairfield Drive and Pontiac Drive still dealing with that accident that happened earlier. No road blockage, but we're still seeing some delays in that area. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Seeing if you're on Davis Highway headed southbound toward Olive Road, seeing some delays in front of the hospital. And then as you approach Olive Road, so just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Oh, we're having some, like, I guess, is it Smokey the Bear or Smokey Bear? What's the official?
We were corrected because I always said Smokey the Bear.
I always say Smokey the Bear, too.
But we were corrected as Smokey Bear.
That's stupid sounding. Smokey the Bear.
Yeah.
That's not Smokey Bear. It just sounds wrong to me. Like Yogi Bear. It's not Yogi the Bear. It's Winnie the Pooh. I'm thinking of all my bear names that I know.
Oh, okay.
So Winnie the Pooh, Yogi Bear, and Smokey the Bear. I mean, I think my work here is done. It's
almost.
Again, back to
almost.
Me, to me.
Almost, my friend. I really just am like just pointing at you. It's almost done.
You remember that time in 2025 when Andrew completely forgot the format of his show? Yeah, I do remember. That was so awkward.
I love it.
It happens. Live radio. Forgive me.
My job here is done.
Oh, do I want to? Yeah. Okay. Tonight will be the execution of the Okaloosa County multiple murderer. And I have been telling you I wouldn't talk about this in detail because it's awful. But I also feel like it is the truth. And because I know people are opposed to the death penalty and aren't willing to get into the details, because once you get into the details, it's really hard to ignore. This is one of those stories where, honestly, I would tell you, you know, if you want to go away for a minute or two and come back to me, or you got kids, you don't want them to hear all that, I totally understand. Okay? Because what I'm going to tell you is awful. I want to tell you, this guy that we're going to execute tonight, Edward Zakruski, or Zashevsky, I don't know which. It's the Polish name. It could be either way. I just don't know. Back in 94, marriage wasn't going well. And apparently one of his kids, Edward, 7-year-old son, calls him at work. He worked at Eglin. Yeah, he worked for the Air Force. And told him that his wife was thinking about wanting a divorce. After that conversation, he went out and bought a machete on his lunch break. After the purchase, he returned to work and did a full day. He came back home, and he hid the machete in the bathroom. You get why I would say, if you don't want to hear this, I'm sorry, but this is. I tell you this because you need to know so that when people say, oh, the death penalty, okay, this is the case. Wife and children come home. He attacked and disabled his wife, hitting her twice over the head with a crowbar. Dragged her from the living room to their bedroom, where he hit her again in the head with a crowbar and then strangled her with a piece of rope. Then he called his son into the bathroom to brush his teeth. and he attacked and killed him with the machete. And we know that the kid tried to defend himself because there are defensive wounds on the arms, and he died. And then he called his daughter into the bathroom where he did the same thing to her. And then he dragged the wife in there and further attacked her with the machete. And he's been on death row for 31 years. And the verdict in the case was actually two death sentences and one life. The judge overruled the life for a death sentence because the jury deadlocked 6-6 on that one, and they did 7-5 on the other two. And his argument to the Florida State Supreme Court and the United States Supreme Court is this is an illegal capital punishment case because in Florida, current law, you have to have 8. And under my sentence, it was only 7-5. How it was 7-5, I do not know. That is absolutely baffling to me. But when you say that, you know, some people really don't deserve to die, I give you this case. That's it. This will be the 9th execution in the state of Florida tonight. And you can tell me that you're not sure about some cases, and I will agree with you, some cases are less certain. And you can tell me that some people are margin calls, or you can tell me there's room to wonder whether they did it or not. Fair. There's zero doubt in this case. It is a horrific attack. It was clearly premeditated. And I will personally shed zero tears over this.
News. I'm CJ Papa. President Trump posing today on Truth Social. Tariffs are making America great and rich again, but a U.S. appeals court will review the president's power to use tariffs after a lower court ruling said he exceeded his authority with sweeping levies on imported goods. That's coming up at 10 a.m. Eastern. New tariffs go into effect at midnight. A dozen House Democrats are going to court to fight the Trump administration.
After the Maryland congressional delegation were denied entry to a Baltimore ICE processing facility on Monday, and now a coalition of Democratic lawmakers is suing the Department of Homeland Security, citing the agency's new policy requiring them to give a week's notice before any visit.
Fox's Chandler Painter at DHS responded, these members of Congress could have just scheduled a tour. Instead, they're running to court to drive clicks and fundraising emails. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 83 degrees. Heat index has it up to about 101 degrees already this morning. Well, as of this week, it has been 1 year since the deadly shooting outside of the Wedgewood Community Center. The investigation into that shooting is still ongoing, but county officials do say it's now been violence-free since the county took over and implemented some new safety measures. New cameras have been installed outside of the facility, more lighting also installed. Of course, in that shooting, two young men died. Five other people, including an 11-year-old, were hurt. A 53-year-old man was critically injured after being hit by a vehicle on Massachusetts Avenue yesterday. FHP says the vehicle was driven by a 28-year-old Pensacola woman who was not hurt in the crash. Troopers say the pedestrian crossed the road improperly and was hit by the vehicle. He was taken to Baptist Hospital in critical condition. There's no update today on his condition. A high school teacher facing charges after allegedly having an inappropriate relationship with a 17-year-old student. Officials say Gulfbreeze High School teacher Molly Mercereau is facing several charges. Investigators say the teacher and the student spent an unusual amount of time together and exchanged love letters.
Not really sure how long it lasted, how long when it really started. There's letters dating back several months that they were writing between each other. They were just little love letters about their affection for each other.
Santa Rosa County's Chief Deputy Randy Tift, and he says the investigation started after a call was made to Crime Stoppers. Mercereau faces multiple charges, including an extra charge for allegedly trying to communicate with the victim on a burner phone after her cell phone had already been confiscated. She's been placed on administrative leave with the school district. Mercereau was booked and released from the Santa Rosa County Jail on $30,000 bond. Well, Florida State's playing another baseball game here in Pensacola this fall.
I'm certainly honored to announce that Florida State will be coming back to play yet again another fall ball game here against Mississippi State on Saturday, October 18th.
It's Mayor D.C. Reeves who made that announcement yesterday at Wahoo Stadium. The game will happen October 18th, first pitch at 1. Tickets go on sale August 12th and can be bought online or at the Wahoo Stadium ticket office. Well, it looks like the police department in Tallahassee and Chuck E. Cheese are back on good terms. The company's CEO showed up at Tallahassee Police Headquarters yesterday. Of course, this is after officers arrested a man in a Chuck E. Cheese costume last week at the restaurant with kids watching as the man was handcuffed. Images of that arrest spread online. Chuck E. Cheese CEO David McKillop says what happened was disappointing for many kids and families. He decided to shake hands with officers, turn the page, and invite them to a special event at the restaurant. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. I-10 eastbound right around the Highway 29 exit before and after. We're seeing some minor delays there. Also, Davis Highway southbound approaching Olive Road, seeing some delays. And let's see here. The rest of I-10 looks good. I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We have a heat advisory today with temperatures in the mid-90s, feeling more like the triple digits. 40% chance of some showers and thunderstorms. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 81. Going into Friday, 60% chance of rain, high near 94. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Keeping a 60% chance of rain on that Saturday with a high near 92. Stay connected to Channel 3 News' First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 83 degrees. In Pensacola, it is 82 in Gulf Breeze, 81 in Milton, seeing that heat index up around 100 degrees all across the area. Our next news at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with your Money Now. Later this morning, traders will watch out for June's personal consumption expenditures price index reading. Economists polled by Dow Jones see headline PCE rising 2.5% on a 12-month basis and 0.3% from the prior month. Data drops in 10 minutes. Shares of AB InBev plunged as much as 11% after the world's largest brewer posted a worse-than-feared decline in second-quarter volumes, even as revenues and profits surged ahead. The Budweiser maker said volumes declined 1.9% year-over-year over the three-month period. Eli Lilly said its blockbuster diabetes drug Mounjaro showed similar heart health benefits as the company's older diabetes treatment Trulicity in a late-stage trial directly comparing the two medicines. Eli Lilly plans to submit the data to global regulators by the end of the year, and the company said that could lead to approvals of Mounjaro for this purpose in 2026. Futures are moderately higher. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost 171. That's your Money Now.
We need your help.
It's the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon for the Studer Family Children's Hospital.
The 7th annual Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon is Friday, August 15th, in the lobby of the Studer Family Children's Hospital, presented by Hanto and Clark.
You will hear stories of bravery and inspiration from local kids and families who have benefited from the care and expertise of the hospital's highly trained physicians and staff.
All the money stays right here.
Gulfwinds Credit Union is matching donations up to $20,000.
This year, help us raise funds for supporting our childhood cancer patients with a lit laser.
Special thank you to our champion sponsors, including Walmart and Sam's Club.
Thank you.
And our hope sponsors, Belcor Commercial, LLC, and Penair Credit Union. You can get more at catcountrycares.com or text KIDS to 850-430-1987.
Proudly supporting your kids at the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in today at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Office of Financial Regulation and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Secret offers, guaranteed returns, over-the-top promises that you too can make fast money. These are all red flags that you should be wary of when looking at investment opportunities. Visit Florida's Office of Financial Regulation website 24/7 to learn what questions to ask before you invest. Remember, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Visit SLOFR.gov to learn more.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are their dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning, 7:40 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining me by phone, I have Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Hey, Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. We have a couple of incidents that we need to talk about. First of all, you had a SWAT call over on Avery Street. Is that right?
Yeah, it was on Saturday in the 100 block of Avery. It started as a domestic violence issue involving an elderly couple. The husband shot the female in the head, but she was able to run from the house and call 911 and get officers over there. The initial officers that arrived were unable to make contact with the man that was still inside the house, who refused to obey commands, so the SWAT team was called out. Eventually, the Bearcat was able to breach a window in the residence. The sheriff's office assisted us with a small drone to go inside the residence, and we always appreciate their help in these situations. And using that drone, we were able to see that the male had shot himself. So the good news about this is, you know, it's domestic violence is horrible. It's a very difficult thing to be able to stop because it happens inside the four walls of a home. But the good news here is that the female was able to walk out with a gunshot wound to the head, and she's going to survive those injuries.
Wow. And the man also survived, or was he deceased? Because I thought maybe he had also survived.
He did, but he's in very critical condition, the last I heard yesterday.
Okay. All right. And, boy, you sure aren't wrong about the domestic violence. I mean, we were just a minute ago, we were talking about this horrible story in Okaloosa County that we're about to execute somebody tonight for this atrocious domestic violence from 31 years ago. But, in this case, she lived, thank God, amazing, despite a head wound. So, I feel like I can never say this enough times. People's impression of SWAT is that they're like Rambo going in there to take everybody out. But the reality is that SWAT's primary goal is to save lives and de-escalate, right?
Yeah, they're going to do absolutely everything they can to keep things or to de-escalate and to make sure that the situation turns out peacefully. That's why they also are accompanied a lot of times with a negotiation team that will try to speak for hours and hours. I mean, we've got time on our side, and there's some times that, you know, if a gunshot is heard or a scream is heard, then we just don't have that time anymore, and we must go inside of that home or that business. But they try their very best to make sure things end peacefully, and thank goodness 99% of the time they do.
You mentioned when you were talking about this case that Escambia County Sheriff's Office assisted you guys with a drone, and we were just talking about this with Andy Hobbs on Tuesday, that they have a drone on every shift, that they have multiple drones. What's the status of PPD's drone fleet? Because it surprises me a little that you needed, you know, the sheriff's office to help on that, because you guys have your own drones, or at least had your own drones.
We did, and those drones didn't work out parts-wise and things like that, so now we're going to new ones, and we have to also use the ones that are approved by the state that are built in America. So we've got those coming. We've got some that are in. We also have several officers that are being trained as pilots to operate those drones. And once they're 100% up and running, we're going to let you know. But our program is still there. We were just having to replace equipment and get new drones.
Okay, so we're just kind of temporarily in a situation where we don't have one, but obviously you're working on getting that back up and running, which is because they're super useful. Okay, I didn't know that, so that's helpful information. We also had an incident of you have a follow-up arrest for shooting death that occurred back in 2024, right?
Yeah, that was a homicide, and what the first arrest was made shortly afterwards, and then investigators developed information and found out that there was more than one person involved, and a second arrest has been made in that situation.
And I think maybe in the second arrest there was a chase involved. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not familiar with that. I do know that there was an incident that happened, but I don't know if it was what type chase it was.
Okay.
But he certainly did not want to go to jail.
Fair enough. We also had I don't know. I mean, to me now, I've seen so many of these stories, and I know you guys in law enforcement have seen so many more of these things than I have, that maybe I shouldn't be surprised by anything, but I still do find myself surprised that apparently there was a family-related ring of retail theft, like that we're stealing from Cordova Mall from different stores, including like sunglasses and stuff. Is that right?
Yeah, there was a lot of merchandise, some of the very expensive merchandise, and it was people from the same family. I guess if you're going to do something like this, and you want to trust the people that you are with, because obviously the more that are involved, the bigger the chance of somebody letting information out or getting caught. And these three individuals were related, were family, and eventually did get caught. The lesson learned here is, you know, if you keep going back to the same place, which was Cordova Mall, and committing these thefts, there are cameras all over the place, and you know, the first or second time might be an easy theft, and we're able to get away with it. But then people tend to get greedy and keep going back and going back and going back until they eventually get caught, and that's what happened here.
Yeah, and you know, of course, it's also the other side of this, which is if you see a deal on Facebook Marketplace that looks too good to be true, could be a reason. Maybe ask questions. You know, there could be a reason.
Yeah,
but I guess
it usually is.
I guess the family that steals together serves together in this case. They will stay together, just maybe in separate facilities. We're talking to Mike Wood. He's the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Hang on for just a second, Mike. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents or delays to report to you right now. Traffic is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, you know, another thing that came up with Andy Hobbs, I know you and I have talked about this before, but it's one of those things that's so contrary to people's expectation that it might be worth mentioning. The picture people have of burglars is that they need to be most concerned at night, you know, the creeping in the door when the lights are out and that's when you're home and all that. But burglaries are more common to happen during the day. Is that right?
Yeah. If you break into somebody's house, particularly in this part of the country at night, the chances of you getting shot are very high. So they tend to do that sort of thing in the daytime when most people are working. And then auto burglaries are the opposite. They do those at night, particularly in apartment complexes where there's a lot of vehicles in one place, and they assume that you are asleep. So yeah, that's just how they lay these things out, these plans out. And a lot of people think that these burglaries happen at night at the homes, and that's just simply not the case.
Would this also go along with the advice to, hey, I know everybody thinks about locking your doors on your house at night, but during the day, have your doors locked during the day, right?
Yeah, but and a lot of people, especially in rural areas, that were brought up never locking the doors. There's just nobody's going to bother my home.
Yeah.
Don't think like that, because the times have changed. And they will go to great lengths, especially if you have multiple people in your home. Kids have brought friends in, and they brought friends in, and word gets out that what's inside that home and that it's easy because it's always left unlocked. That's just something that, you know, times have changed. You need to always lock your car, always lock your home. And if you can get alarm systems for both of them, that's highly recommended as well.
Okay, I'm going to ask a really, not stupid, but sort of stupid-esque question based on all the TV that I have ever watched. Is it worse, are the charges worse if you break and enter as opposed to if you just enter with an unlocked door?
It doesn't matter. I mean, you have no business in there, and whether you walk through it unlocked or you break a window, you're still in there and you're committing a felony. It goes quickly from trespassing to burglary. when you begin to take things out of there. And then it escalates even more if you threaten people inside.
Okay, so the entering is the real issue, not the breaking. And so that's that old kind of, I don't know, misconception. Like, it's everything I ever learned about law enforcement from television was wrong. Speaking of that, cop myth for the...
Can you believe it?
Yeah, I know, it's hard to imagine, right? How could that be? Well, it is. I mean, it's funny because to me, every profession that I have ever worked in, everything I've ever seen in movies or TV about that profession has been wrong. And then we assume that the other professions, they just mystically get it all right. You know, everything about doctoring, everything about teachering, everything, you know, it's all. Anyway, you have a cop myth or a did you know for us this week?
I do. And the belief is that if you found a large amount of cash and you turn it into the police, that we are going to seize it, similar, like we do if it's a drug money or something like that, that we seize it, we put it to use buying police equipment and things like that. That's simply not true. If you find a large amount of cash or any amount of cash and you turn that in, and we do not have anybody come forward and claim that, and you just can't walk into the police station and say, hey, that's my money, because you're going to have to know a lot more about it than that. But if you if it's not claimed in a certain amount of time, you get that money back. And it just happened not too long ago to an individual who brought in several thousand dollars in cash that she found, and now she's got that money. So that is a myth. We don't keep it. It's not ours. And if you brought it in, then it's going to be yours if it's not claimed.
Interesting. No, I you know, I remember one time we found a bag that had a PlayStation and some money in it, and you know, we turned it in, and we never saw it again. And I just always figured that they were enjoying it down at the station, you know, playing the PlayStation. But so I was hoping it got back to its owner. But is that true for merchandise too? That if you find stolen merchandise, does that also go to the finder?
Well, not stolen merchandise.
Well, I mean, if it's like, that again, if you find money, it goes to you unclaimed. If it's a, I don't know, you find a, you know, a laptop, and nobody comes and claims it, does that same thing revert to the finder?
The same thing can happen.
Okay. But not with a brick of cocaine. You guys don't return that to the finder, right?
No, we don't. We don't. We had somebody come in one time. It's the death sergeant's office with cocaine and wanted a report because they bought cocaine that was bad, that was fake, and it was quickly tested by an officer, and they found out that it was not fake. They weren't robbed. It was real, and that person was placed under arrest right there in our front lobby.
God, that's amazing. And they were probably
true
thinking,
story.
Well, you know, when I get out, that you owe it back to me because it's mine. I paid for it, but that's not how that works either. Okay, well, I'm glad I asked follow-up questions because that was super entertaining. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time, indulging my silliness, and giving us information. I really appreciate it, sir.
Hey, thank you for indulging me as well.
Always. 751 on News Radio 92.3, but probably not for the brick of cocaine. All right. I'm Andrew McKay.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2x Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
A lot of life can happen between sips of Dasani. You know, the life moments, big and small, that are worth getting thirsty for. Like organizing a family movie night under the stars. Or hearing an old favorite song and having an impromptu dance party. Or finding a new dinner recipe that the whole family loves.
Mm.
The crisp, clean taste of Dasani was made for all of life's thirst-worthy moments. Dasani. Because life happens between sips.
You're not going to want to miss tonight's county fair. I'm going
to
be
We are your window to your community.
Did you see the last 5 minutes of that football game last night?
Oh, man, I saw the whole thing.
And a lifeline to keep you safe when danger is near.
Everybody who is listening needs to take cover as soon as they can. This is one of the biggest storms.
We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress you depend on your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 923.
How do you do, Mrs. Leach? I'm Harvey Manfringenson, and I'm with the CIA.
Oh, I have follow-up material.
Oh,
boy. What's the big controversy of the day, John? What's the big one that we keep coming back to?
Well, we keep coming back to a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of repeat topics today, but because we keep getting more and more information. But Smokey Blank Bear, right?
Correct.
Smokey Blank Bear. Okay. Correct. And I got people texting me how it's just Smokey Bear. It's not Santa Claus. Yeah, but it is Jenny on the Block. And it's Ivan the Terrible, you know. So, I mean, you know, there are articles and sometimes there are not articles. Well, if you go read, allegedly, you know, the internet, that it is Smokey Bear, not Smokey the Bear. However, I have an update.
Ready, Pierre? And now for my song. It's called Smokey the Bear.
With the Ranger's hat and shovel and a pair of dungarees, you will find him in the forest always sniffing at the breeze. People stop and pay attention when he tells them to beware, 'cause everybody knows that he's the fire-preventing bear. Smokey the Bear, Smokey the Bear, prowling and a-growling and a-sniffing the air. He can find a fire before it starts to flame. That's why they call him Smokey. That was how he got his name.
So there!
Boom. Wow.
You telling me Eddie Arnold is a liar in 1952? I don't think so. I don't think so. Smokey the Bear. I just proved it with the song. What more do you want? It's facts.
Oh, my goodness.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives. Follow that.
I can't. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Seeing some minor delays through that construction zone. I can't, dude. Let's see here. Other than that, the rest of I-10, I-110 are looking good. Not seeing any delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Kind of want to hear the song again.
Oh, so wow. You're digging this wicked beat?
Smokey the Bear, Smokey the Bear.
Yeah, so when somebody tries to tell you it's Smokey Bear, you just tell them, I heard the song on Andrew's show. I know the truth.
Well, Andrew, apparently Canada is the latest nation with plans to recognize a Palestinian state.
The move makes Canada the third G7 country to announce plans to recognize a Palestinian state within the last week, joining France and the UK as international pressure mounts on Israel over the starvation crisis in Gaza.
That is reporter Blake Sifton. Prime Minister Mark Carney said yesterday Canada will recognize a Palestinian state during a meeting of the UN. He says that move is subject to reforms by the Palestinian Authority. Manhunt's over in Arkansas. Police arrested a suspect wanted for a double homicide in one of their state parks. Arkansas State Police said James McGann was taken into custody yesterday. He's facing two counts of capital murder. And President Trump will be joined by professional athletes today when he signs an executive order expanding the Presidential Sports Council. He'll be joined in the Roosevelt Room of the White House by golfer Bryson DeChambeau, Kansas City Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker, and former New York Giants linebacker Lawrence Taylor for a signing ceremony.
Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. 757, News Radio 92.3. When it comes time to put a new roof on, nobody's excited about that. I mean, you don't want to spend the money, but you do want the end result, right? You want a roof that performs better if, God forbid, there's a storm. You want a roof that doesn't leak, that doesn't have problems, right? Whatever reason you're needing to get your roof fixed. I mean, nobody loves spending money, but y'all want the outcome. Well, Quality Roofing Solutions, they'll take care of you. They've been in business since 2006, so 19 years. They're not going anywhere. They've been here for a while, been through many storms, repaired thousands and thousands of roofs. Brian Ward started the company here locally 19 years ago. 4.9 review on Google, which is pretty impressive. Nobody gets a 4.9. Even, like, the best restaurants are, like, 4.7. 4.9 is outrageous. They do a lot of local charity work, but more importantly, they do photos. So when, you know, you have a claim. You know, if you have something happen, all those photos are stored digitally. So they've got before and after. And if you have a claim, you can show them, hey, this is what we did. If you're in, you know, insurance folks, they want to know if you got your roof repaired. Yeah, look, hey, we got these photos. And they'll talk to you like you're not an expert. They understand that you may not know everything, and they understand that. They'll call you right back. I mean, it's just all the stuff. They do all the stuff right. 777-0961 or look them up online, qualityroofingsolutions.com. Oh, I do have a thought.
Smokey the Bear.
Yeah, I do have a thought.
Uh-oh.
I think maybe Smokey the Bear might be our first trans-articular bear.
Huh?
Well, I mean, he was assigned article free at birth, but over time, practice, a song,
mm-hmm.
and his own preference, he's now added an article to his name. So his articles are thee. So he's transarticular. He's the first. Yeah, I mean, and, you know, let him be what he identifies as.
Yeah, accept it.
You know, why do you got to limit him so much? We got all kinds. Somebody says, what is it, Easter the Bunny? Somebody else says, you know, the band name that sings Hotel California is not the Eagles, it's just Eagles. Well, that was stupid on their part. Huggy Bear, is that his cousin? Somebody says they love that song so much. Somebody says, but as a kid, it was always Smokey the Bear. Yeah, I mean,
Song proves it.
He's adopted an article as an adult, and that's how he identifies.
Stream us at News Radio.